CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time now is 14:04 Central African Time, and you are tuned in to FIQH according to the four schools. And joining me in studio is Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain. But before we get there to Mufti Saab, I would like to say that our topic today is Umrah. And as we know that school holidays are coming and everyone is going to start going for Umrah, so the topic we chose is Umrah, so that our children and our parents and adults out there can know how to make Umrah and what is the meaning of Umrah and how they can go about making a Umrah, what is correct and incorrect. And joining me in studio is Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hafiz Yusuf Manak, barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khair. And we say thank you very much to our engineer Lucky Shabalala.
If you have any questions regarding Umrah, please feel free to SMS us on 32414, or you can WhatsApp us on 0627081889, and our international listeners can WhatsApp us on +27627081889. And if you have any calls that you want to put through, the number is 011-494-7007. And our first question we have for Mufti Saab is, what is the meaning of Umrah?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umrah literally means ziyarah, to go and visit. Therefore, you can perform Umrah throughout the whole year beside the days of Hajj. So now you go for Umrah, in Ramadan you go for Umrah, and to go in Ramadan is the greatest reward, because Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan ma'i. One Umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to a Hajj with me. With me, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is authentic hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim and various compilations. So therefore, every Muslim should have it in his or her heart. Ya Allah, Allah maj'alna min duyufika wa min duyufin Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, apna mehman bana de. Ya Allah, make me your guest. And you read daily. Read now. You read your Zuhr Salat and now you have to read 2 rakats. In that 2 o'clock you read after the program. Then, or 2:30 you read. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Surah 2, verse 128. O Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, you show me the places of Umrah and Hajj and forgive me. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are of forgiving, very merciful, O Allah. So that is what we should try and do. Surah 2, verse 128.
Our next question. What is the ruling and virtue of Umrah?
The ruling of Umrah is, all the ulama agree, it is sunnah, that no one says that it's farz like Hajj. So remember that is the verdict of majority scholars, they say it is sunnah. As far as the virtues go of it, there are many, many virtues. Al-umratu ila al-umrati kaffaratul lima baynahuma, that when you perform one Umrah, and then after 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, you perform another Umrah. So all the minor sins between that period, in that intervening period, are forgiven by Almighty Allah. So it shows that it is a great, great source of our sins getting forgiven. Secondly, Al-Hujjaju wal-Ummaru wafdallah, wafdullah. The people who perform Hajj, the people who perform Umrah, they are the guest of Almighty Allah. In the Ohu, when they cry to Almighty Allah, Ajabahum, Almighty Allah replies to them, Subhanallah. So imagine we cry, we beg, we beseech, we petition Allah, and Almighty Allah accept our du'as. Hafiz Yusuf Manak, remember when you get married, then try and practice on this hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Tabi'u bayna al-hajji wal-umrah. Follow your Umrah with Hajj. and follow your Hajj with Umrah. So if you made a Hajj, then make Umrah after that. You made Umrah, then make Hajj after that. Now people think for where we're going to get so much money. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالذُّنُوبِ, that does Umrah and Hajj, it erases, eliminates and eradicates the sins and poverty as well. So we must have that yaqeen and conviction. Ya Allah, apna bana de, you take us for Umrah, you take us for Hajj, you take us to Diyar-e Mustafa, to the city of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will see Allah will give us more and more through His infinite grace and mercy. Allah ke khazana mein koi kami nahi, in the treasures of Allah there is no limitation.
My next SMS is, what is the meaning of miqat?
When a person goes for Umrah, then you are going straight to Makkah, for example, then before the miqat or at the miqat, then you must fasten your ihram. You know, when you're going to meet the Prime Minister, President, then there's certain protocol to follow. So yeah, when we're going for Umrah, there's protocol. So now you are going from here directly on Saudi Airlines, then the pilot will announce you're going to pass the miqat zone. So before you come there, you should be in ihram already. Ihram is the state of consecration. What does it mean? The men will not wear their normal clothes. They are kurta, they are trouser, they are shirt, they are safari suit, all that they will not wear. They will wear two towels, the lower garment and the upper garment, no underwear at all, no vest, no nothing. And when they read their two rakat salat, the salat is nafil and is not compulsory. And if you just make intention, it will suffice. Allahumma inni uridul umrata. Ya Allah, I make intention for umrah. Fayassir hali wa taqabbala minni. Oh Almighty Allah, make it easy for me and accept it. And then, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. So remember, about 1 hour, 45 minutes or so, before you land in Jeddah, you should be in the state of ihram already. You're going via Dubai, then to Makkah, to Jeddah, then Makkah. So in Dubai, fasten your ihram. Via Turkey in Istanbul, via Egypt, then in Cairo. So in that way there, you know now you are going to perform Umrah. If you're going to Madinah Munawwara first, from Jeddah you're going to Medina, then you don't have to fasten ihram. When you come from Medina to Makkah, then at the Miqat, Zul Hulayfa, Bir Ali nowadays, so there you will fasten the ihram. So how do you go into that state? You read two rakat salat, Qul al kafirun, Qul wallah, after the Surah Fatiha, then you make your intention for Umrah, you read Labbaik, now you are in the state of ihram. And once you are in the state of ihram, فَلَا رَفَثَا, no husband-wife talk. You can't be smooching and touching your wife's hand, you know. So all these things are out. وَلَا فُسُوكَ, no committing sin. Guard the eyes, guard the ears, guard the tongue, guard the thoughts, all that. وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ, and no argument, fighting with a taxi driver, fighting with a wife, fighting with the colleagues. No, we are guests of Rahman, duyuful Rahman. So we need to behave in that manner as well.
If a person leaves from South Africa and goes for Umrah, what must he do?
So I explain everything what he must do. Thereafter, now you land up there in Makkah. When you're entering Makkah, Allah mabarik lana fiha. You go to your hotel and now you settle down, and thereafter you want to take a shower, so that's permissible before you perform your Umrah. But no soap, no shampoo. While you are in ihram, no soap, no shampoo, no clipping of nails, no cutting of hair, all that are prohibited. For the ladies, you will be in your normal garment. Remember, for the men, the head will be open, and the feet, the ankles must be open. And the Hanafis say the ankles and the metatarsal must be open for the men. Metatarsal means you look at your foot, And there in the middle you will see there's a bone there, that's metatarsal. So the ankles and metatarsal must be exposed for the man according to Hanafis only. Shafis, Malikis, Ambali say the ankles are exposed only, that will suffice. So that is what you should know for the men. For the women, you're in your normal garb, normal clothes. So the women must know the following two, three things. Number one, you must wear niqab. Remember that. And when Nabi alayhi salam said, وَلَا تَنْتَقِبُ الْمُحْرِمَا, the lady must not wear niqab, the hadith in Bukhari is Sharif. It doesn't mean that they must keep their face open. It means it should not touch the face. And therefore, the Hanafis and Shafis say, wear the niqab in such a manner that it is not touching your nose and your cheek and face and so forth. And if you wear the normal niqab, then give out sadaqah, 25-30 riyals, that will suffice also. Obviously, best is you wear the cap and then you wear the niqab, so that will be the easiest way. But some women can't manage, they're not used to it, so then you just give out 30 riyal, so that will suffice as well. And according to the Malikis and Ambalis and them, they say it's fine, you wear normal niqab also, it's acceptable. So that is what you should remember. You ladies, you should wear socks. According to Shafi's, Malikis, Ambalis, is compulsory. Whether you're in Cape Town or you are in Tanzania or any other place, then you should be wearing the socks. It's compulsory. Hanafis say it's mustahab, desirable, not compulsory. But when you are in Makkah and so forth, then you should wear it, because otherwise the men will be touching your feet during the tawaf and the sun will be upon you. Therefore, you Hanafi women and ladies, try and practice on that. You wear your stockings, you wear your socks, and then you emerge from the room of that hotel.
Well, next SMS, how does one perform tawaf?
Now we are already, we took the shower, everything, you know, the ladies, you can change your clothing, underwear, all that is fine, no soap, no shampoo. The men, you want to change your ihram, all that is fine. And now you are walking towards the Haram Sharif from your hotel. So whilst walking, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. And then you enter with the right foot. You make intention of nafil i'tikaf. And you read the dua. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi ighfirli dhunubi. Allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, we take your name. We send salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we coming right by your house, the Baytullah. Forgive our sins. Open thy doors of mercy, Ya Allah. Envelope us with your mercy. Now when we come there by the Baytullah, so the first thing the men will do, they will expose their right shoulder, only the men, not the women. And then you come to Hajar-e Aswad, and then you raise your hand, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. The first three rounds, the men will make a ramal, that is, they will jog, that they will walk fast, briskly. And that is to show that the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mushrikeen polytheists said the Muslims have become weak there in Medina. So they showed them, no, we are still strong. So although the mushriks are not there today, but we continue with the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is of paramount importance as well. And thereafter now you start the tawaf. So one tawaf is seven rounds. So the first three rounds, only the men, you will walk fast, you will walk briskly, you will like jog. The women will walk all seven rounds, and the best du'as during the tawaf, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Then durood salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when you come towards Rukn Yamani, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata wal-mu'afata al-da'imata fi al-deen wa al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma ada shortcut. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. Oh Allah, I beg of thee forgiveness. I beg of thee safety, good health, wealth, everything that I need, honor, dignity, all comes in. Fi al-dunya wal-akhirah, in this world, in the year after. 70 angels say Ameen when you read this dua and you pass Rukn Yamani. The hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah. Then between Rukn Yamani Hajar Aswad, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Thereafter, before you proceed to Safa Marwa, three actions, then you read your two rakat salat. This two rakat salat after tawaf is wajib, compulsory according to Hanafis, and according to Shafis, and them it's sunnah, so you should try and read it. And majority scholars say that, but Hanafis say it is wajib and must be read. And so that's one job you're going to do. Second, you drink Zamzam water. So you try and drink as much as possible. The Master Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma uzamzam alima shuriba lahu." Whatever intention you make with Zamzam water, Allah will make it a reality. The hadith in Ibn Majah, authentic hadith. And third one, look at a place called Multazam. Multazam is between the black stone, the Hajar Aswad, and the golden door. So between the Baab, the door, and remember the Hajar Aswad. And that is very important place to make dua for the men. So you go, you place your chest against the Baytullah, you outstretch your hands, you put your right cheek against the Baytullah. Allah se maangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. We're going to beg Almighty Allah and beseech and petition Allah to make decisions in our favor. So that is what we do there. Then we go towards the Safa Marwa, and before we reach there, again we raise our hands and remember we make istilam. Every time you come back to Hajar Aswad, then you raise your hands and say Allahu Akbar. So that is sunnah also. And the ninth time you will do. Remember, brother, after you finish your tawaf, you in ihram, then you close your right shoulder. So it is for all seven rounds in sunnah, and after the tawaf, then you close it. Then you make your Safa Marwa between Sa'i. So for there, you don't require hudu, but for tawaf, you must be in the state of hudu. So the best dua in Safa Marwa, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So these are the type of duas you should be learning. My dua kitab, my hajj and umrah kitab, all available. You can purchase a copy, inshallah.
Well, next question. Must the men shave their heads?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and the hadith is in Tirmidhi, Allahumma ghfir al-muhalliqeen, Allahumma ghfir al-muhalliqeen. Ya Allah, you forgive those people who have shaved their hair. Thrice Nabi alayhi salam made dua for the men who shaved their hair after Umrah, after Hajj. And then, wal muqassirin, those who only trim it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for them once only. So we should try and take the maximum benefit. For ladies, it's haram to trim, to shave the hair and to cut the hair completely. The hadith is authentic in Sunan Nasai. Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tahliq al mar'atu ra'saha. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the women from shaving the hair. So they will cut their hair. They don't have to wait for their husband and their father and their son and brother. Once they are finished with the tawaf, the two rakat salat, the Safa Marwa, then they just take a scissor and just put their hair around the small finger and cut it. I know my wife, she cuts it herself. So then there's no problem with that, provided all the actions are done. So that is totally permissible. There's no problem with that. So for the women, it's just cutting. For the men, it's shaving. That's the best. And if the men cut, then they are depriving themselves from the maximum reward.
Well, next SMS we have is, how does one perform Sa'i?
Remember, Sa'i, I explained to you already between Safa and Marwa. However, today the Ummah is in jahalat and ignorance. They just raise their hands like how Allahu Akbar when you start Salat, that's wrong. At Safa and at Marwa, you raise your hands. But you raise your hands like how we raise our hands in dua and supplication. And then you continue Safa. See, Safa in tawaf, from Hajar Aswad to Hajar Aswad is one. So Sabatu Ashwad, 7 rounds. So you start at Ajr-e Aswad, the black stone, and you end there. Safa Marwa, Safa to Marwa is one, Marwa to Safa is one. So you will start at Safa and you will end at Marwa. So you must remember that the walking is quite a bit. It is over 3.5 kilos. So inshallah, if you fit, then it's very good.
Okay, our next question is, how do you perform a Nafil Umrah?
Yes, that's an excellent question. Now people are going for the Umrah. That Umrah they perform for themselves. Now they want to perform Umrah for their father, mother, those who passed away, those who are alive. All that is permissible, dead or alive. And it's not necessary one Umrah must be made for one person. So you perform the Umrah on behalf of 15, 20, 100, 1,000, million people, billion people. All that is fine. So where should you go? You got three options. If you go with a bus or the taxi, the most famous one is Masjid Aisha. That area is called Tana'im. That area is called Tana'im. So remember that you can go there, the nice masjid, nice facilities there and so forth. And then you come back from there and then you perform the Umrah on behalf of your father, mother, yourself. So all that will be fine. The second one will be you go to Hudaybiyah. That the board shows Shumaysiyah. The board nowadays shows Shumaysiyah, but the place is Hudaybiyah. And there Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, approximately 1500, were stopped from proceeding any further because they did not have. So you must remember they were not allowed to go and perform their Umrah. That is the non-Muslims. That was Abu Sufyan at that time, non-Muslim. Khalid bin Walid, non-Muslim. Did not allow Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, 1500 of them approximately mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So that is Hudaybiyah. And the next year they came and performed the Qadha. So nevertheless, if you go there, fasten the Haram there, make intention there, it's fine. Third one, you can go, but if you go there, you must take a taxi and tell him to wait for you. It's called Ji'rana. Ji'rana is about 28-30 kilos out of Makkah, and then you make your wudu there, read your salat there. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform Umrah from Ji'rana as well after the Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. But remember, Nabi alayhi salam did not inform the Sahaba. Afterwards they came to know. So therefore, these are your options for your Nafil Umrah.
Our next question is, what is the significance of kissing, touching the Hajr-e Aswad?
Remember, to kiss the Hajr-e Aswad, you, Hafiz Yusuf Manak, I met you this morning, I shook your hand. So you know I shook your hand. So when you come there to the Hajr-e Aswad, the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa, and now you raise your hands or you touch it, but in Ihram you must not touch the Hajr-e Aswad because the black stone, because people keep on throwing perfume, itar, all that. So, and now the crowd is big also. So nevertheless, we went towards that. You know, if you go towards the Hajr-e Aswad and now you are walking in that direction, so now you will raise your hand. So when you study the hadith, and Sheikh Said Baghdash, he is a master, he wrote all these books on Hajr-e Aswad, on the Hijr-e Ismail, the Hatim, on Ma'e Zamzam and so forth. So he writes about Hajr-e Aswad and he quoted the hadith there. كَأَنَّهُ صَافَهَا يَدَ الرَّحْمَانِ. When you raise your hands, you say Allah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, it is as though as you are shaking the hand of Almighty Allah. It don't mean literally, it means metaphorically, that how when we meet, we shake hands, so there we are shaking hands, and our sins get forgiven, and this same Hajr-e Aswad will bear testimony and give evidence in our favor on the day of justice. And the great virtue of Hajr-e Aswad is Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam qabbalahu bi shafatayhi al karimatay. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed it with his own Mubarak lips, and we kiss it today. When people kiss Hajre Aswad, sometimes they kiss the wrong part. Remember, it's like small 8-8 pearls, not 8-8, like, you know, pearls there. So that is what Hajre Aswad is. Because the Shia, the Karamita, they stole it. And after 22 years, it was retrieved. But small pieces were brought, and that was stuck there. So that is to do with Hajre Aswad. And one more minute we have. So I'll just mention this one, two issues which people keep on asking before we conclude the program. Number one, remember, to read 40 salat in Medina is not compulsory. So if you read 10 salat, 15 salat, 20 salat, it's all permissible. So 40 salat is not compulsory in Medina Munawwara. It means any amount you read and you go to Makkah, it's fine. Second one is that when a person performs the Umrah, after the Umrah is the Tawaful Wida. Remember, according to majority scholars, there's no Tawaful Wida. So if you did not make any Tawaf after that, so that also will be fine and acceptable. At least you perform your Umrah. And remember, you beg Almighty Allah for acceptance. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. So that is how that person should perform the Umrah and make dua that Allah takes us to Umrah. Almighty Allah protects the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara. And Almighty Allah protects Masjidul Aqsa as well from the enemies of Islam. So that is our dua. And those people who want to come with our group, inshallah al-Aziz, for Umrah or for Hajj, then phone this number, then you phone the Durban number of Travel and Tour World, 031-209-9292. 031-209-9292, inshallah. May Almighty Allah make us, take us, and make it a reality. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah. That is Jazakallah to Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain. And that brings us to the end of today's fiqh program according to the four schools. And the topic was Umrah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
CII Radio, the globe's number one Islamic media house.